Well, we're going to be looking at the Christmas story, obviously, this morning, and we're going to be looking at the story from 35,000 feet. All right, we're going to be looking at the big picture of what we know, you know, the details of the Christmas story and why Christ came, but we're going to be looking at the Christmas story from the sovereignty of God perspective. And I pray, I trust that this word this morning is going to give you great hope as you leave this morning. And as we look at the story, we're going to be looking at the first Christmas tree. You know, God actually planted the first Christmas tree. And we're going to be looking at this story in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1. You know, when things are dark, when things are bleak, that's when God does his greatest work. And sometimes it's so subtle that we don't see it, and we just have to live and walk by faith. But you know, God did his greatest work at the manger when he sent his son, Jesus Christ. It was subtle. Not many people knew of his coming at the time. And God did his greatest work as well on the cross when it was dark. When his followers had lost all hope. God was doing his greatest work. Have you ever looked at something and determined that it was dead, that there's no life there? That happened at my house. About 6 years ago, when I was having back issues and before my back surgery, I had an almond tree in my side yard. And my irrigation system was kind of messed up, and so water wasn't getting to our almond tree. And as a result, my almond tree died. Well, something unusual happened this last season. Life came back to this almond tree. See that stump on your right hand side? I had been looking at that stump for the last 5 years. In fact, I had, you know, the irrigation was broken, and so I didn't even bother to repair it because obviously the almond tree was dead. But this last summer, things began to grow around that stump, and a shoot sprouted up from that stump. Now I've done some manicuring, some pruning of that that shoot, but I want you to know, church, I've got an almond tree growing from that dead stump. That's the story. That's the context of our message this morning in Isaiah chapter 11. If you have your Bibles, let's look at Isaiah chapter 11. And Isaiah prophesies, this is really God's voice, these are God's words, but something of similar nature is going to take place in the land of Israel, in Bethlehem. In the context of our passage this morning, God has leveled two nations. He's going to level the nation of Israel, and he's going to level the nation of Syria. In chapters 9 and 10, Isaiah prophesies this. But as he levels the nation, and in his description of leveling the nation, these two nations, Isaiah talks about God cutting down all the trees. Now, this isn't necessarily literally going to happen, but the trees represent the power and the authority and the establishment of these governments. And in his judgment of these nations, the trees are going to be cut down. That's chapters 9 and 10. But in chapter 11, verse 1, the Bible says, "And there shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from whose roots shall bear fruit." You know, it's going to look like things are dead, that that God has pronounced judgment and life is over for Israel. But in looking at the dead things, God says, "I'm going to bring forth life from this stump. A shoot is going to come up from the stump of a tree." And that is the message of Christmas. Are you in a hopeless situation this morning? Have you determined by your circumstances or whatever that it's never going to happen? And you've just kind of lost hope? The message of Christmas from 35,000 feet this morning, church, is never, ever give up on God. God is at work. God has a plan. And it may be ever so subtle, and you can't see it, but in the midst of death, in the midst of darkness, of emptiness, God is at work. God tells Isaiah, "I am going to level these nations, but from the stump of Jesse, from the root of Jesse, a shoot is going to come forth." And in a moment, in a little bit, we're going to be looking at who this shoot is. There's something that you need to understand as we look at Scripture. That there is judgment with God. We looked at that a few weeks ago. God will not strive with man forever. We're living on borrowed time. But the Bible says that God's love and grace and mercy endures forever for those who fear God. For those who don't fear God, from our text this morning, we see that judgment has come on these people, on these nations, and primarily for Isaiah, or for Israel, because they broke the covenant that God had established with them. So this morning, let's look at the Christmas message and the fact that God is sovereign and God is at work. Now, when God gave this message to Isaiah, and Isaiah said that this was going to happen, this was 700 years before Jesus came on the scene. 700 years. Now, something that you need to understand about the sovereignty of God is that God operates outside of our time. When God sees things, he sees the big picture. And God is telling Isaiah these things, and Isaiah is pronouncing them to the nation of Israel and Judah. And these are things that are going to take place 700 years from now. God sees it. God knows when it's going to take place. And as you read through the book of Isaiah, chapter 11, not only is God talking about his son's first advent, but he's talking about his son's second advent. There are things that are going to take place in chapter 11 that refer to the millennial kingdom, or the new heaven, or the new earth. And when God pronounces these things, he knows it, and he sees it all. God is a sovereign God. And just because we see things from a temporal perspective, and we begin to interpret things that, you know, God is not at work here. My friend, never, ever give up on God. God is always at work. This is the story of the Bible. Look at the story of Noah. God tells Noah to build a boat. Build a boat? What's a boat? It's never even rained. What's the purpose of a boat? But God tells Noah to build a boat because his judgment is coming if people don't repent. And so Noah builds this boat. He preaches that that people better repent, that God's going to send rain on the earth. And people are asking, what's rain? Noah, why are you building this? This doesn't make any sense at all. But from God's perspective, from God's sovereignty, he knows exactly what he's doing. Look at the story of Abraham and Sarah. God had promised Abraham and Sarah that they were going to have a child. He was going to be the father of a great nation. Abraham and Sarah, they've lived beyond their childbearing years. On purpose. God waits until it's impossible from a human perspective to have a child. And that's when God does his greatest work. God gives Abraham and Sarah Isaac, the son of promise. God promised he would do this. Look at the story of Joseph. Joseph, one of the sons of Jacob, one of 12 sons, his favorite son. And Joseph has these dreams, and it's obvious that God is speaking to Joseph's life. And what happens to Joseph? His brothers sell him into slavery, and he's deported to Egypt. While in Egypt, he comes across a man named Potiphar. God blesses Joseph. In Potiphar's house, Joseph is falsely accused and he's thrown into prison, and it looks as if God has forgotten him. Life is over for Joseph. From our earthly perspective, that's what it looks like. But God has a greater plan. My friend, when things look desperate, when things look dark and bleak, Don't give up on God. The same happened with Moses. Here Moses thought he was going to help his brethren out in Egypt while he was Pharaoh's son, and took matters into his own hands, and it backfired on him, and so God sent him out into the desert, the backside of the desert, for 40 years. Here's Moses is 80 years old. God hasn't forgotten about Moses. And God speaks to Moses through the burning bush. And for the last third of Moses' life, God does his greatest work in Moses. So over and over in the Old Testament, you can see these things. You can see these things in the New Testament. Folks, don't give up on God. God says 700 years before Jesus is born that a shoot is going to come up. He's going to plant a Christmas tree. His first Christmas tree, which is going to be 700 years later. 700 years. Who can wait 700 years? We don't have 700 years to wait. But you know, even in the waiting, even if it doesn't happen in our time frame, we must be people who continue to believe. That's what Hebrews chapter 11 is all about in the Hall of Faith. There were events that occurred that the people of God never anticipated, never expected, and yet they continued to believe because they knew that this wasn't their home. They were just passing through, and the best was yet to come. God has a plan. In Romans chapter 15, verse 5, the Bible describes, I'll just mention it to you, the Bible describes God as the God of endurance and encouragement. As you're waiting on Him, God, the God of endurance, wants to help you endure. He wants to encourage you each step of the way. Never give up on God. I like what Rick, I'm sorry, I'm supposed to be in charge of my PowerPoint this morning. Well, we're not there yet, but okay. There's a quote, but it's not up there. Rick Warren says this. He says, when the pursuit of your dream deteriorates from difficult to impossible, congratulations. You're in good company. So what do your circumstances look like this morning? I know for some of you, you are deeply disappointed because you've had hopes, you've had dreams of things occurring in your life, and you've received bad news. It's not going to happen. Do you think that caught God by surprise? Absolutely not. My friend, He has a plan. And in the Christmas story, He wants to plant that seed of hope. Don't give up on Him. So let's fast forward 700 years. The people of Israel, the nation of Israel, has been waiting a long time now. And things haven't been easy. Now, after Isaiah, there were more prophets who came along for about 300 years. But after Malachi, it was silent. Between Malachi and the book of Matthew, there are 400 years of silence. And the context of the first Christmas is not an easy one. The nation of Israel, they've been under the oppression of three different governments. Things are not going well for them. And so this is the context of the Christmas story. Now let's look at the content of the Christmas story. I want you to see the supernatural of who God is. I want you to see how subtle God is and what He does and how difficult things can be. What do we see in the Christmas story? Well, number one, we see that Jesus is born of a virgin. God is the God of the impossible. It was God's Holy Spirit who impregnated a young, maybe 15 or 16-year-old girl. And it was necessary for Jesus, this supernatural event, to have occurred. And that's a whole other Christmas story or a message for Christmas. But Jesus had to be born of a virgin. And so we see the supernatural take place. We see God born, Jesus born to the poorest of parents. You know, when we see the Christmas story, it's not easy street. You know, it's not the Macy's parade. The story is birthed out of difficulty. Mary and Joseph were poor. When they dedicated Jesus in the temple, all they could afford were two sparrows. God came in the most inconvenient of circumstances. They had to travel down to Bethlehem. Mary is probably 8.5 months pregnant right now. You know, and that is not the time to be traveling pregnant. And here she travels, I'm not sure how many miles it is, maybe probably about 200, 300 miles. 8.5 months pregnant. God came in the most humblest of places. God was born in a stable, a dirty place. It wasn't an accident. God's message came to people of the humblest of professions, shepherds, outsiders, the people who were ostracized in society because they had a very dirty job. Here they were the caretakers of the sacrifices, but they themselves weren't even able to go into the temple. And yet God's birth, God's message came to the shepherds. Go and see. This is the story of Christmas. It screams, believe God. Believe God. If life is not easy for you, my friend, God is working. God waited 700 years to plant his Christmas tree. God is not in a hurry. God doesn't operate on our time frame. He operates on his. And even though things aren't occurring as we want them to occur, and we can't see God's activity, and it looks like things are dead, my friend, things are not dead. God wants to plant a Christmas tree in your situation, in your circumstances. This is the message of Christmas. And so what do we do when it looks hopeless? Number one, we need to remember what God can do. I mentioned Romans chapter 15. It's a great passage of Scripture. Turn there for a minute and let me read verse 4. Verse 4 says this, "For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction." He's talking about the Old Testament. Okay? He's talking about all of the Old Testament, and it includes the Christmas story. It includes Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1. "Was written for our instruction that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope." Look at that again. Through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. And then look at verse 5. It says, "May the God of endurance encourage and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony." The God of endurance and encouragement. God's not in a hurry, but God definitely has a plan. Jump on down to verse 12. You know, God does all these things, and God has done things through the nation of Israel so that we as Gentiles, we're the Gentiles, we might come to believe in the God of Israel. But look at verse 13 or verse 12. And again, Isaiah says, "The root of Jesse will come, even he who arises to rule the Gentiles. In him will the Gentiles hope." God's Christmas tree wasn't just for Israel. It's for us this morning, friends. Verse 13, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope." Are you full of hope this morning? Or are you letting your circumstances get the best of who you are, and you're in a ditch. You're in an emotional ditch this morning. The story of Christmas is believe the promises of God and never give up. Never, ever. What do you do when you're hopeless? Number one, remember what God has done. What God is doing. Second, face the facts with faith. With faith. Don't let them discourage you. Know that God is sovereign, and He's doing something far bigger than you or I can ever comprehend. Face the facts with faith. Where am I at? I need my glasses here. And obedience. And obedience. You know, things may be occurring in your life because they're consequences of the choices that you've made. Things occurred in the nation of Israel. God's judgment was pronounced on Israel because they had broken the covenant. In your hopeless situation, it may be because of choices that you've made. And God this morning is turn, repent, obey Him. Third, pray. Pray. Just keep praying. You know, someone asked Pastor one time, Pastor, you know, do I have to pray about everything, even the little things? You know, shouldn't I just save the big things for God? And the pastor told that gal, he said, you know what? Everything is small to God. You know, there's nothing big to God. There's nothing impossible with God. Pray about everything. And then finally, share the message of Christmas. You know, if you're in a hopeless situation right now and you're discouraged and you're just thinking about you and having a pity party about you, maybe the best thing for you right now is to go and encourage someone else who's having a hard time. And if you're not having a hard time, you know what? You know somebody who's having a hard time, and they need to hear this message this morning. I know I'm not the most eloquent preacher in the world, but this is God's Word, okay? God will use His Word to speak truth and hope into dark situations. But maybe you need to share the message of Christmas. Somebody needs to hear this. Now, let me make this dark for a moment because I'm not quite there yet. But Christmas is all about the good news. And you know, last week, I wasn't here. Several of us went down to Ensenada to share the message of hope. I don't know if you've ever been to Ensenada before. For the last several years, we've been going to Tecate. But this year, the Tecate church that we're working with are planting some new churches in Ensenada. And so we went to Ensenada this year. Talk about a hopeless situation. I mean, these are Indian Mexicans in Ensenada. And if you know anything about Mexican culture, the Indians are the lowest people group in Mexico. They're ostracized. They're on the bottom of the food chain. And this was a very sad, desperate situation. And we went down there with shoeboxes, gifts. And it was amazing. These gifts, the children, they loved what they received. we took down over 500 shoeboxes to Mexico. This was the church service that was going on while the children were having their activity. The parents were in a church service. We had over 300 children at this Jesus birthday party. Go back to this picture. Eunice, that's one of the little boys with one of the gospel bracelets that he's looking at. But poor, dirty conditions. There were mothers. We were overwhelmed with mothers with babies. And the MOPS ministry, they were able to put together, I believe, seven diaper bags. Those diaper bags, boy, they were difficult to give up out because not everybody could receive one. For the ladies who were involved in the knitting ministry, who made booties and blankets, we were able to give all the moms booties or blankets to the babies. And so that was a blessing. But lots of children. Here's one of the diaper bags that's being given away. Just precious children. Another mom with a baby who got a diaper bag. They will touch your heart. Here's a mom. Here's one of the blankets that was knitted that they received. The birthday cake, we had Jesus' birthday cake, and cake is a luxury to these kids. And there's one picture, I don't think we got it, but the little boy, he was just so dirty, so shabby, and he was getting the birthday cake, and he had the biggest smile on his face. He was so excited. But toothpaste. This little guy is receiving toothpaste in his shoebox, and he was so excited. Shows, oh, there's the picture. Getting that birthday cake, he's just overwhelmed with that. And there's some of the booties. But we look at those pictures, and we went down, and we shared those gifts, but had we just shared the gifts, we wouldn't have helped those children out. We wouldn't have helped those families out. Not only do we share the gifts, but we talk about why Christ came in the first place. Yes, Jesus Christ is God's Christmas tree. God planted that tree. That tree grew. That tree lived a purpose, a perfect life. But then that tree, Jesus Christ, chose another tree, a cross, to die upon. The Bible says that Christ died. But when Christ died on that cross, you know what? That wasn't the last word with God. Christ had to die on that tree. Christ had to die on that tree on purpose for our sin. Christ took the curse upon himself. But when he died, that wasn't God's last word. Because if that had been God's last word, Jesus just dying on the cross, that tree would have been totally dead. That tree would have just been, that cross would have just been taking up space. But 3 days later, Christ came up out of that grave. Christ conquered sin and death. And guess what? The tree lives. The tree is eternal, and the tree is coming again. And that's the message we took to Ensenada. Yes, it's dirty. It's dark. It looks rather bleak and hopeless. But there is good news. If you place your faith and your trust and your hope in Jesus Christ, Jesus may not change your external circumstances, but He will change your eternal circumstances. And He will give you a hope, and He will give you a future that you can look forward to that no one can ever take away. And it may be hell on earth right now, friend, but guess what? This is the worst it's ever going to be. The best is yet to come. And that's the message we took to Ensenada. And in taking that message to Ensenada, 217 people gave their life to Jesus Christ. Now you might ask, well, Pastor, did they all get saved? How do we know they're truly saved? I don't know, but God does. And we just have to be faithful with the story and trust God for the results. But this is why we go to Ensenada, not to take shoeboxes. Shoeboxes are just part, but it's to tell them the hope and the good news of the Christmas story. So are you in a hopeless situation right now? The message of Christmas, my friend, is never, ever give up on God. God has a plan. And He's working. He's always at work. And it may be ever so subtle and you can't see it, but continue to live by faith. Let's pray. God knows your heart. Some of you have been going through a really tough time. And your dreams are crushed right now. My friend, keep believing. Keep hoping. Keep dreaming. Things may not turn out the way you want them to turn out. But God has something better in mind. Will you choose to leave here with hope and thanksgiving? Determined to go back to His Word. And remind of yourself of the things that God has done. The God of encouragement and endurance wants to give you hope and endurance. And my, how we all need that. Nothing is too big for God. Keep praying. Keep believing. Father, thank you for the story of Christmas. How and what you said 700 years prior did occur. And just as you planted that tree in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago, God, your word says that you're coming again. Currently, you are on your throne at the right hand of the Father. You rule and you reign, and you're coming again. God, help us to be faithful and expectant and ready for your return. Encourage your children. If there's one here this morning who doesn't know you as their Lord and Savior, Lord, may today be the day of their salvation. May they choose to believe you. Thank you. Thank you for Christmas. In Jesus' name. Would you stand with me, please, as we worship the King of Kings.